color. So what we did was the first four lessons that we encountered, and this is just a brief recap, was we started in the Garden of Eden. And the reason we started in the Garden of Eden is we wanted to make the point that we as Africans, black people, Hamitic people, dark-skinned people, have been involved with God since the very beginning. And we looked at the scripture in Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 to 14, at the description that God gave about the rivers and the Garden of Eden. And then we were able to show that that God was talking about Africa. We looked at an Old Testament study, and we looked at the life of Moses. And you can see that things will duplicate themselves. And we sort of compared Moses to Martin Luther King to a degree, being a liberator, having a mountaintop experience. And we looked at the historical significance of Moses. Then we moved to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we showed that the person who wrote the first gospel was a black man. It was a black man that was born in Cyrene, Libya. He was Mark. Mark wrote the first gospel. And we looked at the life of Mark, because what you'll get is you'll get Mark's life that's just in Palestine. They don't tell you about Mark's life after he went back to northern Egypt, city of Alexandria, where there's a church named after him. There's a monument named after him. His tomb is still there. It is written that Mark traveled more missionary miles than the Apostle Paul. All right. Then we went and we looked at the African contribution to Christianity. For the first 500 years of the beginning of Christianity, Northern Africa was the center. All of the thinkers were from Northern Africa. What would take place is the thinkers from Northern Africa would be recruited to Italy and to Rome. So when you hear about them in Rome, you automatically assume they are Italian. But you've got to trace them back to their actual origin. The last time we did this study, we looked at the invisible institution. In other words, we looked at Christianity in America during slavery and how the slaves would sneak away at night to have church. I'm talking about a real church. Anytime you risk your life to get to church. In other words, it's like you get up and you know there's a word for me if I could just get there. And understand that they knew the hell that they were going back to, but they still made their way to church. So we looked at and we traced how the invisible institution is the beginning of every organization that there is. And God is true to his word, because God says nothing will prevail against his church. And we use Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 as our biblical basis. Then we dealt with the question, because in the Old Testament is Judaism. In the New Testament is Christianity. So we dealt with the question, how did Christianity get to Africa? And I just did one of the ways that Christianity arrived in Africa. And I looked at the eunuch that was in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. And we looked at how this man, many languages, he was able to read the scroll of Isaiah, which means that he had enough money to have his own scroll, because not everybody had a scroll. If you needed to hear the word, you had to go to the temple. This man had an entourage, had a posse. Philip the apostle was walking, to give you an idea about this man, the Ethiopian eunuch. And then he got saved, he got baptized, and he went back home and took the gospel. Next, we looked at the color of Christ, which was one of my favorite. I actually had to change the title in certain places so I didn't get in trouble. Sometimes I interchange the title, the Black Christ. But the essence of the lesson was, it was not about the color of Christ, but it is about how we as African Americans see Christ differently than our European brothers and sisters. In other words, The book blew me away. The author talked about when she was a little girl, she couldn't figure out how her grandmother could pray to a white Jesus. She just couldn't figure it out until she got old enough to understand that her grandmother knew it wasn't about his color, but it's about what he does for us in our daily lives. Then we looked at the story of Joseph. Joseph is real interesting. I think we looked at 8 or 9 biblical principles in Joseph's life. And one of the things that's interesting was Joseph had a prison record, which we can relate to a lot of us, had a prison record. But that didn't stop God from using him, even though he was innocent. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let me watch my time. But to give you, I got to share this. The reason I wanted to go here is because I wanted to thank y'all. For my senior project in school, I had to do 4 lessons. And you know how they have, well, what you going to do? Tell me more. What else you going to do? How you going to grow it? How you going to, you know how they gas you, all that. So, you know, I tell them just to satisfy them. I say, I'm going to grow this to be 12 lessons. And the reason I'm going to grow it to be 12 lessons is because I really have a problem when the only time I can really share them is during the month of February. I want to have 12 lessons so that I could probably share one lesson 1 week each month and not limit Black history to just one particular month. So thank y'all. I've got my 4. At least I'm working on my 4. All right. The source for tonight's lesson is, and everybody should have this. Should have this in your home. Amen. You should have this. It's the original African Heritage Study Bible. It has pictures in there of us, how we really look. And it gives a commentary from an African perspective, which we got to have. And then the other is the book titled by William Whatley and also Raquel St. Clair. She got married. I don't know what her new name is, but y'all know she could preach. So they have a book, Sermons Rooted with African Presence in the Bible, Gospel Sermons Rooted in History. Amen? All right. Let's get started. All right. Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, 42. Now, I got to share with you. In my study, I was just getting so excited when I was able to get the book, right? Open the book and see Jesus' words in red. Y'all missed that. See, I had went to my phone and I looked at the verse and it was in black and white. Y'all not getting this. These are Jesus' words. Amen. Jesus spoke these words. Amen. All right? Jesus says, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. All right? Now that's Matthew. You can stay at Matthew for a minute, but I just want to show you. There's a big word they teach us in seminary, and it's called biblical precedence. Now, biblical precedence simply means that you will find it in more than one place in the Bible. Here's what makes that important. The Bible will complement itself. You see, most people, and I know nobody here tonight, most people will take one verse of scripture and take it out of context and then create a denomination off of one verse. Luke likewise records this. Luke says, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utter parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of great Solomon. The wisdom of Solomon, And behold, one is greater than Solomon is here. Now, because I know y'all are excellent Bible students, and you know that when you read certain portions of scripture, that automatically in your mind raises a question. So when you read those two verses of scripture, the first question that should come to your mind is, who is the Queen of the South? Who is this African woman that Jesus is speaking about? I want to give you a hint, African woman that he's speaking about. Now let's unpack this a little bit. In the Bible, and this is what we call cultural exegesis, in the Bible, when you see the word the South, it's referring to the land as the South of Israel and Canaan, which is really the continent of Africa. Now, it didn't have the name Africa yet because it was named after General Africanus, who conquered Africa. So before then, it was known as either Ethiopia, the land of Cush. You with me? And it wasn't just Ethiopia, the country, but it was the whole region of Ethiopia. Now watch this. The African woman that Jesus praised was not living during Jesus' time on earth. She had been dead thousands of years before Jesus began to walk on earth. Think about that for a minute. I don't know about you, but some days I would really like to leave a legacy that when I'm gone, thousands of years, they'll talk about the young guy down at Redeemer. I'm trying to make it real for you. Watch this. What it means, she must have been so dynamic. I'm working on your imagination now. You got to see this. She had to be so dynamic that she became part of the religious and the cultural tradition of the Hebrews to the extent that 1,000 years later, after her life and death, Jesus heard, read, and learned enough about her to respect her. Now, most of y'all are probably already ahead of me. Who is the Queen of the South? Hey, man, that's what I'm talking about. I'm in the right crowd. She is the famous Queen of Sheba. And her story appears in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. And before we go there, I want to bring some context to the text of Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. Can I do that? All right. See, the first thing we do while we're Bible students and Bible scholars and we're reading the text is we want to try to find out what's taking place in the text. See, here in Matthew chapter 12, it's a conversation between Jesus and the religious leaders, and it's not a friendly conversation. The leaders are consistently accusing Jesus, conspiring against Jesus, condemning Jesus, and they're testing Jesus. So towards the end, and you got to see this, towards the end of this conversation of going back and forth, Jesus responds with the sentence of Matthew 12, 42. What I'm saying is Jesus is using this black woman as an example. We call that compare and contrast. Jesus is contrasting the queen's actions with the actions of the religious leaders of the time. For the queen traveled a long distance to listen to Solomon and seek his wisdom, where the religious leaders were unwilling to listen to the Son of God who came down from heaven. That's what's taking place in the text. Let's get to Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. And let's take a look at why Jesus praised this African woman. Verses 1 and 2 says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold, precious stones, and when she came to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart." I'm trying to tell you about a sister that had it going on. Had it going on. Now, you may not can't see this, but this caravan, it goes on as far as you can see. I don't think y'all getting that. She had, I don't even know what they had before, they called them posses. Watch this. Travel in her era was not as it is today in terms of convenience or quickness. The queen had to travel at least 1,500 miles to get from her kingdom to Jerusalem to see Solomon. Now, I'm that kind of guy where you say 1,500 miles, you got to take it a little further. Help me see that. So I actually went to the map from Portland, Oregon to Miami, Florida, is 1,500 miles. That's a visual picture of the journey she went on to seek the knowledge of Solomon. Now, considering the size of her caravan, her journey easily took several months. No wonder Jesus praised this African woman who came from the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Verse number 3. Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything he held from the king which he told her not. In other words, she came with questions. In other words, she came with questions. Y'all still missed it. We ought to come with questions. We really do. Here we go. Verses 4 and 5, and watch my time. When the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the setting of his servants and the attendants, his ministers, their apparel, his cupbearers, his accent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spite in her. Let me give it to you in English. When she arrived in Jerusalem, Solomon took her on a tour. That's all them verses are saying. Part of the tour included Solomon taking her to the Lord's house, which was the temple. Y'all looking at me funny. Now, in those days, you didn't go to the Lord's house empty. Not like people do today. See, saw Solomon give the sacrifices and the worship to God. All right. And she said to the king, "It is a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. How be it, I believe not the words until I came and my eyes have seen it. Behold, that was just half, well, the half was not told to me. Thy wisdom, prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. All right. That's all right. Y'all get a little slow on me. All right, here we go. Here's what she's saying in English. She's saying what the psalmist said in Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see. She said, in other words, I heard. But when I came and I saw for myself, y'all playing with me. Y'all playing with me. All right. Verse number 9. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delight in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loveth Israel forever. Therefore he made thee king to do judgment and justice. Let me translate it again. She's saying, through her encounter with Solomon, she was able to see the true source of the blessings. She knew it was nobody but the Lord that blessed Solomon to have the knowledge and everything that he had. This Gentile woman came away a believer just because of her encounter with Solomon. All right, let me keep it moving. All right, coming in for a close. If you notice, it's verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. That's four verses, right? Now, when I'm studying scripture, I count. I count in order to help me to understand what I'm reading, to try to get a picture of what's taking place or what the writer is trying to describe. So I just told you there were four verses, right? Three of those verses describe what the queen gave to Solomon. Only one verse describes what Solomon gave the queen. Ah, you missed it again. All right, here we go. Verse 10. She gave the king 120 talents of gold. Let me just stop and unpack that. A talent of gold is simply a measurement of money. One talent of gold is 110 pounds of gold. That I'd love to have just one talent. She gave him 120. Right. Do y'all watch the markets? Do you know what the price of gold is today? All right. Oh, here we go. And spices of a very great store, precious stones, there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen had gave to the king. In other words, there has never been anyone since who has been able to give what the queen, this African sister, gave. That's verse 10. 11, and the navy also of Harem, that's a different subject at a different time. I'm really tempted to go there, but in other words, they had a transaction that would take place. You know, Africa has rich in minerals and resources, and there was the navy. They did a little transaction that took place after she left, all right? Because when you get the axe, the Ethiopian eunuch, when he was going for Candace the queen, he was the treasurer. So he was going to collect the money from the transaction. It all ties together. All right, here we go. They brought the gold from Ophir and brought in Ophir great plenty of almond trees and precious stones. And here we go, verse 12. The king made of the almond trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalters for the singer. There came no such Ogmon trees, nor were seen until that day. That just describes the type of gifts that she gave Solomon. Here we go. Now here's what Solomon gave. Brothers. Yeah. King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desires and whatever she asked. Besides that, Solomon gave her of his royal bounty, so she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Amen? Amen. Let's just go just a little deeper on the background of the queen, and I'll be coming in for a close. Now, although Sheba is in southern Arabia, and forgive me, I really should have put the map up so you could see that. So it's Africa and it's Arabia, right? All of that was her territory. All that was her region. It stretched beyond the borders of Africa to include southern Arabia. The queen herself was a major world power. Think about that. When you go culturally, how women were treated in most cultures, for her to be a world power. Now, this blew my mind in my studies. She is mentioned in the sacred books of all three world religions. This African woman. The Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. This African woman. We just looked at her in the Old Testament, which was the Jews. We started out by looking at her in the New Testament, which really is where the Christians mostly focus. And she's also in the Quran. And that's probably as far as I go in this setting. Amen. Lessons we can learn from her life. She was a secure individual. That means a lot. A secure individual. First, the queen had to be extremely secure as a ruler to leave her kingdom for such a long period of time. It's estimated by scholars that she was gone at least 6 months. And it could have been as long as 2 years. And to come back and have all of her power intact. Now let me share this with you. I'm talking about other churches. All right? That's my disclaimer. I'm talking about other churches. I have pastor friends. Most of them take the month of August as their vacation. And you ought to see them while they're on vacation. Because they know when they get back, somebody is trying to take over something. Most of them are not secure to leave for any extended period of time. Second, since Solomon's wisdom was legendary, she had to be secure in her own abilities and intelligence in order to approach him as an equal. Now, you notice I only talked about two of her attributes. I'll leave number three to the imagination. I'm trying to tell you about the queen of Sheba. I'm in church. You got to catch this now. She did not come to Solomon as a second-class citizen. She really didn't. Third, if Solomon was supposed to be the best, The queen had a long and costly journey to meet Solomon, which means that she had a desire for the best. All right, let me help you out. I'm studying this, right? And the Spirit is ministering to me. Because there's a person I know that has a desire for the best. But I wanted to get a Hyundai or a Subaru. Or and Lord is like, get that woman the best. Yes, I just tell y'all in advance, you know, how the Lord is dealing with me. So if you see it with something, you know it was God. Amen, amen, amen. And what you find is in our churches today, they are filled with so many people that are insecure. In other words, they rest on their titles that they have in the church, or they rest on how long they've been a member of the church. And all they need to know is, once I have Jesus, I have it all. Amen. I am secure and covered by the blood. Amen. It's our relationship with Jesus that makes us secure. John says, nobody can pluck me out of his hand. Amen. All right. By being secure, the queen was able to search for the best. In other words, she couldn't tolerate mediocrity. She had no problem with searching other people who were the best in what they do. The queen realized that it takes the best to bring out the best in us. In other words, intelligence breeds intelligence. Spirituality breeds spirituality. If we want to grow in certain ways, we've got to be around certain people. When we're secure, then we don't mind admitting our needs and when we need help. In other words, the queen came to Solomon because she didn't have all the answers. And sometimes I'm amazed, but this is just for me. I run around certain theologians, and they seem to have all the answers, and they are the ones I run from. No, none of us has all the answers. Really. When a person say, I don't know, I give them so much respect. Yeah, for real. Amen. She knew that if she would just share what her needs were. And watch this. In church, a lot of times we're in need, but we won't open our mouth. And we won't say anything. And we won't say nothing because, and I think this goes back generational, that we don't want people in our business. But in the church, long as we use the spirit of discernment, God will lead us to people who don't want to be in our business, but lead us to people who can and will help us. So there's help for us in God's house. And she showed us that there's nothing wrong with admitting when you need help. Lastly, she says, or secured people, they don't mind sharing their blessings, helping others. In other words, insecure people want to hold on. Nah, you can't take mine. Another, but I can never get this. God has a limitless supply. You with me? God can never run out of blessings. can never run out. Therefore, whatever somebody has, we encourage them because God is in the neighborhood blessing. See, secured people know when my hand is closed, I can't get blessed. But when my hand is open and I give, that's the way I receive. Secured people know that. Listen, I finally understood what it said in Malachi, where it said, give a tithe and an offering. See, and I don't mind being transparent with y'all. For years, I was stuck at the tithe. I was stuck. I did my 10%. That was my religious duty. But the Lord said, give more. Give more. I'm trying to help somebody. Give more. And it was then I realized I could not be God-given no matter how hard I tried. And it was something I had to experience because I put a limit on myself. I'm stopping at 10. 10 is what I'm doing. Doing what I'm supposed to do. No. Tithe and offering. So secure people, not only do they have an open hand, but they have an open heart. Amen. Here we go. I'm at 7:56, and I should be done 8 o'clock. I know you got your phones out, don't you? All right. What is the Queen of Sheba's name? Marquita. Yeah. Amen. Marquita. Have y'all been to the Blacks and Wax in Baltimore? Well, they have one of her. And they also have in front of, you know, the thing you read, the card. And it lets you know her name is Marquita. So the Queen of Sheba is her title. But her name is Marquita. Amen. Amen. Let me close. So we have Solomon. We have a king that's greater than Solomon. And what Jesus is trying to tell the people in 42, that he's greater than Solomon. And he's right there with Solomon. See, Solomon could bestow riches, but Jesus, our king, can bestow righteousness, everlasting life. Solomon knew something. But our king, King Jesus, knows everything. You see, Solomon had some power. But Jesus, our king, had all power. You see, Solomon reigned for a little while. But the King Jesus reigns forever. And what I love is that the queen had to travel a long distance to get to Solomon. But watch this. But if you want to get to Jesus right now, all you got to do is just call on his name and he will hear you and will come and see about you. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your attention. Next week, I'd like to deal with the case the curse of Canaan. Amen. 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 Any questions before we close? Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads real quick. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. Lord, we thank you for letting us know about our rich history that is in the scriptures, our African presence that's in the scriptures. And we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray, God, that if there's anyone among us that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today would be an opportunity that they would get to know you, that they've already come a distance, and that you will come all the rest of the way and sup with them. Is there anyone here that does not know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior? Would you raise your hand? Father, we thank you. We bless you for a saved household. God, we pray for those that are coming for the offering, and we thank you for just the opportunity to be able to give and worship you through giving. Lord, we thank you for the Church of the Redeemer. We pray, God, for safe traveling mercies for everyone that is here. And God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.